The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. We know that it's June. We know it's the offseason. We know we need to break down every NFL team. We're trying to dive in and take a look with experts from every NFL team, smart people who know things about them. And to do that today, Tory Petry of DetroitLions.com at SportsTory on Twitter. And I believe a multi-time guest on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I am honored to be back. Thank you for having me back.
What is your sense of the Detroit Lions are really interesting because I think that they are not, first of all, when you think about the Lions, I do think it has been a consistent theme with how people talk about the team that this is a pressure points, season in 2020. Do you feel that is sort of the belief and the understanding, within the organization as well?
Absolutely. I mean, anybody on the coaching staff or football side of things would tell you that we have that much pressure on ourselves all the time. We always have that much pressure because we always want to win. But I think from a fan base standpoint and, you know, maybe even from some of the comments that have been made from ownership, that they really want to see results. They've invested in this program with having Matt Patricia at the helm, Bob Quinn drafting players, and it took a while for them to match up getting the kind of players on the field that those two felt worked well in their system. And it wasn't an overnight thing, but now they've had a couple of years of doing it, and they're in year three with Matt Patricia, and I think that they're ready to see some results around the city of Detroit. And, you know, I know Detroit's always been ready to see some success on the football field, but I think particularly under Matt Patricia, they feel like they've gotten some time under their belt to get the players in the system that they want, and it should be time to start seeing that come together.
Well, you know, when I think that if you polled the average fan and said, what was the Lions record in 2019? They wouldn't tell you it was 3-12-1. Like it felt like, it felt like a better team than that. I mean, according to their advanced statistics, and you have a cat wandering behind you.
I know.
It's, it's adorable. It's
very people nice. On the podcast probably can't, see the cat, but you can right. See the cat. He's very inquisitive back here. This is Rory. He's named after the Lions mascot.
Oh, nice. That's kind of cool. That's awesome. Hi, Rory. I think, but you look at this team and even by the point differential, it was a 6-win team. So they were a very unlucky team. And I think part of the problem for them too. And by the way, we ended up on a 10-minute rant on this on the podcast a couple of months ago. I didn't realize that Martha Firestone Ford's nickname in college, you know what her nickname in college was?
I'm not familiar with this. No.
Her nickname was Stony in college.
Really?
Which,
I did not know that.
Which, you know,
for Firestone, yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's exactly. It's just a play on Firestone. You know, if your nickname is like 2020, if your nickname in college is Stony, maybe it's for a different reason. But like, yeah, like it was fast. Like I was floored by it, but like I agree to hear her say the things that she said, made it very clear that there is an impetus to win. And I don't think it helps matters for Matt Patricia that Jim Caldwell went 9-7 in back-to-back seasons on his way out, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I agree with what you were saying about how a lot of people might not have thought, oh, they'll have 3 wins last year because there were so many close games. I mean, the Lions nearly beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, that was a big game. They just barely let it slip away there at the end. And, you know, there are no moral victories in football, but you could see how they were right there on the edge of so many of these games. And then, of course, Matthew Stafford getting injured didn't help. And then having to rely on backup quarterbacks who didn't play horribly or anything, you just can't rely on a backup quarterback to carry the team the same way you can Matthew Stafford. And, you know, so I definitely think there was a lot of good football, but just not good enough football that we saw from the Lions last year. And they need to play better. And, you know, Matt Patricia – has his guys now. And I think that that's where the expectation stands is that, you know, this should be the year we see production.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it and like, you know, they won one game after their week five bye. And I also think too, so they should have beaten the, I mean, honestly, they should have started the season 5-0.
Yeah, exactly. That should have been a win, but they let that get away from them.
They let the Cardinals game get away from them. They let the Chiefs game get away from them. And look, people lose to the Chiefs all the time, but they had the Chiefs in a position where they could beat them.
Yeah.
And then it really felt like that Packers loss on Monday Night Football in week six, just sort of at that point, you fall to 2-2-1. And you're like, wait, we could be 5-0. And the refs rip you out. And then they lost. They beat the Giants in a close game. But they lost the Raiders by one score, Bears by one score, Cowboys by one score, Redskins by one score, Bears by one score. And then close it out with the Packers by one score. So just this tough, tough stretch of losses. I wonder, like, cause I think, and I agree with you, Matthew Stafford is healthy. It's a different story. Do you think at this point that he has somehow drifted into a completely underappreciated player in the NFL?
Yeah, I think that the injury kind of, you know, allowed him to get there in people's minds because he was playing at an all-pro level before he got hurt. He was amazing in this offense before he got hurt. I mean, it was the first year with Daryl Bevell as the offensive coordinator. Those two were clicking. It seemed like things were working really well. We were seeing some incredible throws from Matthew, and then he gets hurt, and then all of a sudden the story is, well, Matthew Stafford's always hurt. Mm. Well, that's not really the case. He was playing very, very well and has, throughout his career, played through a lot of injuries. And, you know, this just happened to be one that he couldn't. And I think he's totally fine now. I don't think that it was a lingering injury. He says if they were back in the building, he would be back to just doing everything normal at this point. And he said that back at, you know, the beginning of all this, when they should have been back in April or so, that he would have been ready to go then. So, you know, I don't think that that is a lingering issue, but I think it has caused people to kind of forget about how well he was playing before he got injured.
Yeah. So I went back to my high school and did like a chapel talk at like 2 or 3 years ago. I used Matthew Stafford as the principal, it's in the South, et cetera. Like he would have near there, but like I use it as a principal focus because I was like, look, when you're going to go through all these different periods, like you're going to leave high school and go through all these different periods of your life, and like sort of made the analogy of Matthew. Cause when Matthew Stafford came out of Georgia as the first overall pick, like he only played in 13 games his first 2 years. He was considered an injury prone, maybe a potential bust. Then, you know, he has like, averages like 690 pass attempts per year over 3 straight years. And it's like, he's this gunslinger who can't get it done. And then he sort of morphed into this efficient player. And now like, you can almost see it. Like last year he was like, it was like all clicking. Like he had completely matured mentally, but he still had the physical tool set to just bomb it down the field. He hadn't missed a game since 2010. Like he's not injury prone at all.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I definitely think that this one was a frustrating one in particular because of how long it lasted and because the team just wasn't able to have success without him. And I think that that darkened the opinions of how bad the injury was because of how much the team struggled without him. But I definitely wouldn't consider Matthew Stafford injury prone.
All right. So, it was sort of interesting to see. I thought it was anyway, the Lions used a second round pick on DeAndre Swift, and we're talking injury prone guys. Kerryon Johnson, again, it's 2 years into somebody's career. You can't say they're definitively injury prone, but he hasn't played a full season yet. And it does feel like Matt Patricia, and Daryl Bevell want to lean on the run game to sort of set up these deeper shots. Is that accurate with how they want to approach it offensively?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that is why we saw them take a running back so high. I mean, when we were, you know, doing all of our pre-combine and pre-draft analysis and saying what positions there were of need for the Lions, running back wasn't really one of them. It wasn't, you know, it was maybe something they'd address later on in the draft, but it wasn't something that they did right away. And so I think that that was definitely something that surprised a lot of people to see them take a running back in round 2. But then you look at where they're at and you look at how important it is to establish the run, to be able to set up those big throws from Matthew Stafford. If you're a one-dimensional team, that's less successful for you. And that is something that they want to take advantage of Stafford's skill set. So you have to have a run game to be able to establish that. And you're right. Kerryon Johnson has not been able to be fully available for either of the seasons that he has been in the league. And so they never really have gone on a running back system where it's just one bell cow. They've always had a couple of guys to move in and out of there. And so I expect that that's what they'll want to do with Kerryon and DeAndre.
Okay. So, I mean, sort of lighten the load for Kerryon. The expectation shouldn't be one of these guys is getting 300 carries.
I don't think so. I think you're still going to see a mix of both of them. I mean, the Lions even rotated guys in and out on the offensive line last year. So I would expect that we see, some sort of rotation at running back, especially because those two are very different players, different body types. They bring different skill sets to the table. And so I think they will put the player in there that fits the play that they want to run.
All right. I mean, look, a healthy Matthew Stafford and a potent run game in this team, there's no reason that this team shouldn't be a lot more interesting than people think on offense. Defensively, though, is a big question. We'll take a quick break, and we come back, we will break down that defense.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, so with the third overall pick, the Lions took Jeff Okudah, and they also landed Julian Okwara. Did I do that right? Did I get his name right?
Julian Okwara, yes.
Julian Okwara, yes. I'm still working on the draft prospects. It's like it's June, but and then they also felt it feels like they did a whole lot of supplementation of their defensive roster through former Patriots players the last couple of off seasons, which is no surprise. Like we see this in Tennessee, we see it in Houston, you see it anywhere former Bill Belichick disciples go. It shouldn't be shocking. What is the expectation for this defense in 2020? I mean, is it because Matt Patricia? That's the tough part. If you're Bill Belichick's right hand man for 10 years and you leave and your defense stinks, people are going to ask questions.
Yeah, this defense has to be better in 2020. It was not good in 2019. There were games where the defense really did drop the ball. And so this defense has to step up in the 2020 season. And there were a lot of reasons for that in 2019. Some of it was injury related. There were a lot of injuries along this defensive line that we all thought was going to be so strong going into the 2019 season. But they never really got to play together through the preseason, through training camp, because someone was always injured. And even in the beginning of the season, it was a little shaky there as well. And so it took until a little bit later in the season for them to hit their stride because they had just dealt with so many injuries all along. And so, you know, that contributed to the struggles that the Lions had on defense, but we've got to see a better defensive effort, this year in 2020. And they did add some pieces along the defensive line. I mean, you mentioned Julian Okwara, brother of current Lion Romeo Okwara. Yeah. You know, those two brothers will be big parts of this defense, I believe. And then, you know, you bring in Nick Williams on the interior of the defensive line through free agency. He comes from the Bears. So you have guys like that. You also have Danny Shelton coming in from the Patriots. Like you said, the Lions like to find players that they're familiar with. And I will say that I think this offseason in particular, it makes a lot of sense to do that. I'm not saying that this is why they brought those guys in, because who could have predicted that we were going to be out for this long. But these players already know Matt Patricia's system. Guys like Danny Shelton, of course, Trey Flowers from last year, trading for Daron Harmon this year. Guys like that know this system already. And so it's going to be a shorter learning curve for them to hop in and be part of this team when you don't have any in-person practices to learn that.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I also wonder too, like, so Matthew Fairburn came on and talked about the Bills, and he pointed out that that one of the Bills' philosophy, and I sort of wonder if maybe Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia aren't learning this too after a public a very Twitter heavy trade discussions involving Darius Slay. Like if you bring in guys like Danny Shelton and Jamie Collins, and you mentioned Trey Flowers and Daron Harmon, like these guys not only know your system, but you know them and they know you. And so I would assume that maybe this is something they sort of wish they'd done a little bit earlier in terms of transitioning the locker room, because you do, as a new coach, it has to be your locker room. And if you don't have wins early on, it's harder to convince everybody to buy in. And maybe this is an attempt or a shift in philosophy in terms of making the locker room more fundamentally sound towards Matt Patricia, maybe.
Sure. And, you know, you think of it in any workplace. There are certain bosses that certain personalities work better with and sure. certain ones that work better with others. And so there is a certain cohesiveness that you need in an NFL locker room and on an NFL team. And so I think that finding those players that you already know like your style of coaching, which is quite frankly very different than what they had in Jim Caldwell.
Very different.
Not that either are, you know, bad styles. They are just very different styles. And so finding players that you know work well and respond well to that type of coaching, I think has also been part of bringing in players that you know as well.
You know, I mean, just to touch on the coaching stuff too, like I think it's hard for – so Matt Patricia, like, I mean, he's only been there 2 years. And again, like he came in and there was already this expectation of somebody who was there before him and X number of wins for a franchise that frankly, I mean, as you know very well, hasn't won a ton of games in the history of its, you know, history of the club and certainly in recent years. And then also like just part of being an ex Belichick disciple is that you just don't really seem to get a whole lot of wiggle room before people start asking questions. And Patricia had that thing with the media and that maybe that, you know, the media member where it's like the shirt tucked in or whatever it was. And like that probably doesn't help matters. It just, does it feel like there's more pressure being put on him than maybe you would see from another coach who's a little more low key that didn't come from the Patriots style and brand?
Well, I think in my opinion, the pressure is more so because Jim Caldwell was fired because 9-7 wasn't good enough.
That's fair.
Jim Caldwell got them to the hump. They needed somebody to get them over it. And so Matt Patricia was supposed to be the person to get them over it. And they have not yet gotten over it. And so I think that the pressure comes from, okay, you said 9-7 wasn't good enough. And granted, it does take some time to build a system to bring in guys that work and that, you know, can operate well under your system. But now we need to see you get over that hump, because that's why we switched coaches, was because we needed someone to take us to that next level. Making the playoffs wasn't good enough. We wanted to see you win playoff games and win the division. And those are the things that this team and this franchise is looking for right now. And they just haven't seemed to be able to find it quite yet.
Okay. Well, then that's a perfect segue for what is a successful season for the Detroit Lions?
I think that obviously you need to have a winning season. There's no way you can have another season where you are not winning. But I think that ultimately one of the bigger goals at hand would be to win the division. And I think that that's a tall order. I think this NFC North is a really really difficult division to win. But I think that that goal is in their sights, that is something that they want to do. They want to be able to come out on top of this division. And we've seen teams go from worst to first in this division before. We'll see if the Lions are able to pull it off this year, but I definitely think that is a goal of theirs. Now, I'm not saying that it is an unsuccessful season if that doesn't happen, but I think that we need to see this team make it to the playoffs this season.
Okay, so I mean, so it is – and I actually think that they're an interesting sleeper team to take to win the division, because if you look around the NFC North, I think that every single team, like I would say that the Lions probably did a good job treading water. And I think that the rest of the teams in the division got appreciably worse or like, even if Nick Foles is an upgrade over, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, like I don't think the Bears got appreciably better from what we've seen the last 2 years. I thought the Packers were one of the luckiest teams in football last year, and then they do the Jordan Love thing. Just refuse to draft a wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. And then, you know, the Vikings just lost a ton of people through natural attrition. I mean, you don't want to be like, well, it's the Lions division to lose. I mean, nothing silly like that, but it does feel like there's a window here.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, the players and coach would say the same. You know, I think that it's been difficult for us as media to even think that far ahead yet, because we're just kind of trying to cover everything that's unfolding so quickly in our current events. But I'm sure that the team and players have had those conversations about what their expectations are for this year. And if I had to guess, I would say that that's probably one of them, is that they want to be able to win this division. So we'll see if they're able to pull it off, but I don't think it's impossible.
All right. I like it. I have some potentially misguided optimism towards the Lions this year. But I agree. I don't think it's impossible. Tory Petrie at Sports Tory on Twitter, multimedia journalist for the Detroit Lions. Thank you so much for joining the Pick Six podcast. Again, always a pleasure to talk to you, Tory.
Thank you so much for having me. I love being on.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.